Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. One more hour on a very busy, busy Friday night. Congrats to the Pacers and to the Colts and their draft success. Talk about that a little bit later on tonight and tomorrow night. Right now, though, busy, busy night in sports. The star of our show, the man himself, couldn't do it without him. It's Network Indiana's Brad Huber.
Thank you, Coach, and good evening, everybody. A very busy night around Central Indiana. Let's begin with the Indiana Pacers in the NBA playoffs first round. Game 3 against the Milwaukee Bucks. Pacers led by as much as 19, led by 12 at the half, and led 111-108 with just seconds to go in regulation. Will the Pacers get the win? Here's how the end of regulation sounded by Mark Boyle, the voice of the Pacers.
Indiana by 3, Milwaukee trying to force an overtime. Halliburton will challenge the Beverly inbound. David Guthrie gives the ball to Patrick Beverly, and here we go. Beverly looking to get it in. He lobs it to the top. Lopez has it. Middleton with it. 4 seconds to go. Middleton unloads and hits a three from the right side near the hash mark. The good news is that the Pacers have 1 4/10 seconds.
Pascal Siakam missed a three to win it in regulation, so we go to overtime. The Pacers struggled shooting the basketball, missed 60 shots tonight, but hit when they needed. It was tied at 115-115, and here's how Mark Boyle called an Aaron Nesmith three.
Halliburton drives, pulls up left of the lane. Siakam takes it, top of the circle. Back to Halliburton, four to shoot. In the lane to the corner, Nesmith beat the shot clock. Tells you the result as Nesmith buries a three right in front of the Milwaukee bench. Indiana by 3 with 14 4/10 seconds to play. That was C-O-L-D blooded.
Chris Middleton got his 42nd point on a three to tie it at 118-118 with 6.4 seconds to go. And here's how the game ended.
And Nembhard will take the ball from Ed Malloy. Over on that far side hash, he flips it into the backcourt. Halliburton runs it down. He'll cross the timeline with 5. Moving to his right with 4. He's in the lane. The floater from the foul line. Pound it! And put him on the line. Nicely done, employee number 0. The floater from the foul line with 1 6/10 seconds to play. Halliburton with a chance to make it a three-point game.
He converted that three-point play to make it 121-118. Chris Middleton missed a shot at the buzzer. The Pacers win 121-118 to take a 2-1 lead in that best-of-7 series. Game 4 will be on Sunday at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Tyrese Halliburton, a triple-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists. Chris Middleton for Milwaukee, 42 points. To the NFL we go in the NFL draft. Last night, the Colts selected at number 15, Latu, defensive end out of UCLA. Today, they were scheduled to have 46. They traded down to 52 with the Arizona Cardinals, with Carolina. And this is who the Colts selected at number 52.
With the 52nd pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. Let's do it.
So Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. The Pacers then traded up in round 3 from 82 to 79 with Arizona and selected Matt Gonkalves, an offensive tackle, 6'6", 330 pounds, out of Pitt. Other notable names to be drafted last night, Michael Penix, the former Hoosier, at number 8 to Atlanta. And then all Notre Dame, Fighting Irish, Joe Aul, offensive tackle to the Chargers at number 5. And then tonight, Blake Fisher, an offensive tackle at number 59 to Houston. And Maris Lufau, number number 87 to Dallas. He was a linebacker. Minor League Baseball, Fort Wayne Tin Caps in action right now. They trail 5-3 in the bottom of the ninth to Great Lakes. And the South Bend Cubs scored 6 runs in the 6th to beat Quad City. 7-4 Indians were rained out in Omaha. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us. Brad Huber, you've been busy tonight, have you not?
It's been a very busy night across Central Indiana. Colts, Pacers, minor league baseball, college baseball, IndyCar down at Barber's. So, yeah, a lot going on tonight, but it makes a lot of fun.
All right, let's talk about the Colts draft. Tell me how things went. I think I'm not even going to try to pronounce their draft pick, their first draft pick. I'll put that onus on you so I don't embarrass myself. So they've had how many picks have they made yesterday and today?
They made 3. Leiatu Latu, defensive end out of UCLA in round 1 yesterday. They traded Dan and got Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. And Matt Goncalves, they traded up for today in round 3, an offensive tackle out of Pitt. And then, barring any more trades, they will have 5 in rounds 4-7 on Saturday.
All right, hang on. Hold that thought. We have the man himself, the best at what he does, from the ISC Sports Network and every other possible outlet there is, the one and only Greg Rakestraw. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Coach.
So were you working tonight, or are you just trying to relax?
Someone asked me to call into the program, and I, of course, obliged. So I'm calling in to talk NFL draft with you, sir.
Yeah, and you're kind to be able to call. You are the most reliable guest on our show, and I appreciate that. The draft, listen, it's one of those eagerly anticipated events of the year. It's one of those where there's so much unpredictability. In my next life, I'm either going to come back as a meteorologist or an NFL draft prognosticator, because you don't have to be that accurate and still people pay attention to you.
True, if you're an NFL draft prognosticator, you probably have less work than a meteorologist. So it really is about the workload you're looking to carry there, Bob.
Well, there's that. there is that. So what's the early assessment on how the Colts did draft-wise?
Well, of course, on draft night, all 32 teams got A-pluses with their draft. They got the guy they were looking for. They filled every need. Or if you're a pessimist, they got an F double minus, depending on, again, your perspective.
Right.
In all seriousness about the Colts, it's such a different draft than last year, where there were so many more questions about this football team last year than there were this year. I thought the most obvious needs for this team were wide receiver, cornerback, maybe if the right player, a.k.a. Brock Bowers at tight end, found them at 15. He didn't have 13 last night. I thought they would look at a tight end. Now, maybe look at a tight end on the third day, but probably not. But just to recap, Leiatu Latu is the player drafted, learn how to say his name, in the first round by the Colts last night, 15th pick out of UCLA. Thought to be the premier pass rusher, perhaps, in this draft. Now, it's a very interesting and quirky draft, because the Colts at 15 took the first defensive player that was taken in the draft. Everyone else had been all offensive players up until that time. In terms of tonight's picks, A.D. Mitchell out of Texas has spent 2 years at Georgia, had a big season at UT this year. In terms of a wide receiver, Colts actually traded back a couple of places to get him at 52. Then they traded up in the third round to get Matt Goncalves, who, again, likely is a backup lineman this year, but somebody maybe they are kind of grooming for a year or two from now, potentially a starter. The Colts, again, have this very unique situation where they return so many starters across the board, and that includes at the offensive line position, because you'll have Bernard Ryman, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Will Fries, Braden Smith, all returning. The entire offensive line returns their starters from last year. So those are the positions that have been taken so far. Colts now have 5 picks tomorrow. making sure I'm counting fingers and toes to get the math right, because they added two picks in the fifth round, and it is traded a sixth-round pick. So I think it is a fourth-round pick, two fives, or three fives and a seven is what the Colts will have in tomorrow's draft, again, knowing there could be some more moves that happen at any point in time tomorrow.
All right, we're coming up on a scoreboard update. Before you hear the music, I'll just give it away and ask you to stick around, if that's all right with you.
Perfectly fine.
Greg Rakestraw and I will come back after this upcoming school board update, continue to talk about the draft, and Greg's going to be working tomorrow night with the Indy 11 there at home against North Carolina. We're going to talk with Sean McCauley later on in the hour. So stay with us. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Let's talk IndyCar as they are on the road course at Barber Motorsports Park for the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. Practice number one earlier today, and after a week that saw Joseph Newgarden stripped of his win at the season opening race at St. Pete, he was fastest today at Barber Motorsports Park. Pato O'Ward was awarded that win at St. Pete. He was second fastest. That disqualification was because of an illegal use of the push to pass on a restart for Joseph Newgarden. Also, Scott McLaughlin and Will Power also penalized this week. Will Power was third fastest. Colton Herta was fourth. Christian Lundgaard was fifth. Romain Grosjean was sixth. Graham Rahal seventh. Marcus Armstrong was eighth. Scott McLaughlin ninth. And Marcus Ericsson was 10th. They will practice tomorrow afternoon and then qualify at 3:30 for the race on Sunday afternoon. College baseball across the state just going final at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Saw the Purdue Boilermakers get the win over Northwestern 9-3. Other games, North Carolina State beat Ball State 10-2. Seton Hall over Butler 7-3. Evansville winners over Missouri State 4-1. The Hoosiers of IU winners over Rutgers 8-3. Indiana State upset today by Southern Illinois 3-2. Number 8, Wake Forest beat Notre Dame in a tight one, 4-3. Wright State beat Purdue Fort Wayne 5-1. Division 2, UIndy, the Greyhounds, no issues with Truman today, 14-1. Hanover beat Earlham 7-6. Manchester over Mount St. Joseph's 10-8. And Alma beat Trine 5-4. We'll have more with the Pacers and the Colts coming up in a bit. This is Brad Huber for Network Indiana Sports.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Greg Rakestraw rejoins us, talking about the Colts and the NFL draft. So they have a bunch of picks coming up for tomorrow. I've always kind of been impressed with what Mr. Ballard's been able to do in the late rounds of the draft, Greg, and he's going to have some opportunities tomorrow.
Yeah, last 2 years, guys that saw significant time in the secondary were seventh-round picks. You know, 2 years ago, it was Rodney Thomas out of Yale. Last year, it was Jalen Jones out of Mississippi State. Colts spent three picks on cornerbacks last year. Two of them made the opening day roster. In terms of Juju Brent, second-rounder out of Warren Central High School, and the aforementioned Jones. Again, that is still likely the biggest need going into day number three. And honestly, every team drafts defensive backs on day three, because so many of those guys that are second and third string defensive backs end up being your special teamers. I'd be stunned if the Colts didn't draft at least a cornerback at some point in time tomorrow for that reason alone. But at the cornerback position, you've got four guys that are going to likely rotate amongst those three spots. They brought back Kenny Moore, they think is one of the best slot cornerbacks in the National Football League and is a key part of that locker room. So he's there, but then at the two outside spots, the hope is Juju Brents is healthy enough to play one position and that Dallas Flowers plays the other, and Jones is kind of your backup at both of those. I still think the Colts are going to try to get a little extra, whether it's a draft pick tomorrow or maybe even kind of shopping, you know, once you get through the draft, kind of the waiver wire, the second tier free agents, to bring them a little more depth at that position. Other than that, you are simply kind of drafting guys you think are fits or are depth pieces.
Right.
There probably is a need in terms of another running back in the room. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is going to be your workhorse as your number one. You know, Trey Sermon, who they brought in last year at the end of training camp, kind of knows Shane Steichen's offense from his days in Philadelphia. He's going to be the primary backup, you would think. Evan Hull was a fifth-round pick last year. He got hurt very early in the season, so he's the guy that could be a difference maker. But it would not surprise me if a running back gets taken at some point in time. And there's also probably a good likelihood a linebacker gets taken. What I said about cornerback depth, you would say about linebackers as well. What the Colts have done in terms of having guys like Zaire Franklin and E.J. Speed that really were special teamers or backups for 2 or 3 years is unheard of in the National Football League. This team has had such ridiculous linebacker depth. They really haven't had to kind of invest in the position, at least from a draft capital standpoint, the last 2 or 3 years. Zaire Franklin's going to be here long-term, and I think the team would like to have E.J. Speed here long-term as well. But again, it would not surprise me if the Colts, again, spend at least one draft pick tomorrow on linebacker, knowing that for the first time in a while, the depth of that position might be a little bit thin right now on the Colts roster.
You know, in totality, you can't help but be excited about this group. As you point out, a lot of key members back from a year ago. Hopeful they stay healthy. That's always one of the big keys. The maturation process for others, just the whole evolution of their skills and talents. I would be, if I'm a Colts fan, I'd be pretty excited about this group.
Correct. The questions last year were macro. Now they're micro. Now it's very much, hey, fill this position. Hey, fill this need. And then the obvious and ultimate question is, you liked what you saw from Anthony Richardson in a brief sample size last year.
Right.
Now can he stay healthy? And can he replicate that long term? And while he didn't get the reps last year, I think everybody was hoping for, again, what you saw was very good. So can that be extended over a 16-17 game period? But the other thing that I'll point out is this, and kind of the next domino to fall after the draft gets done and you bring in a handful of undrafted free agents, is that the schedule is going to come out. Usually that happens week one, week two of the month of May. But I'll point this out. And again, we'll see who the Colts will be playing. We know who their opponents are going to be. We'll see the order of them, who they've got the first 3 or 4 weeks. But as there seemingly is less hitting and less guys playing in the preseason, you wonder if the Colts might have an advantage early in the year because they have so many guys back. And there's going to be so, you know, it's less time on installation and guys knowing plays and guys kind of learning each other. You know, in theory, this group should hit the ground running faster because they've all been together for so long. And there's no new head coach or no new offensive or defensive scheme. This is truly running it back from 2023. So does that lead to an early season advantage for this team? Time will tell, but I do think, Bob, that's a possibility.
Greg Rakestraw, part of the Colts network, again, does everything and does it very, very well. Tomorrow night, you're working out at Michael A. Carroll Stadium on the campus of IUPUI. Indy 11 taking on North Carolina. Sean Cawley is joining me later on this hour. Should be an interesting matchup. Important matchup because, you know, you don't want to let those top three or four teams start to pull away from you at this particular point in the year.
Correct, and there are 27 more matches, including tomorrow night's. But it's right. You don't want to be fighting from uphill, and you've got some teams in our conference that are kind of off on flyers to start the year. Lou City, Detroit City, Charleston are all like that, and Indy's been struggling a little bit. And there's something to be said for adjusting to a new head coach, and the team, you know, roster is kind of half returnees and half not. But I do think that there's enough talent here, and frankly, the preseason results were pretty good, that sitting here with 5 points through seven games is a bit of a disappointment. The other thing I would say is this. Again, we talk about early season schedules. Schedule was not kind to the Indy 11 early. That's not going to change over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks. They played at Colorado Springs last Saturday and only got a point. And I say that because the switchbacks had played five, had lost all five, and had scored just one goal. And Indy allowed a goal 3 or 4 minutes in. Indy was up a man for the last 31 minutes, tied at one, got a goal apiece, and couldn't find the go-ahead goal. It was on the road. North Carolina that Indy plays is a team that Indy has a very lengthy and, frankly, positive history against, but we haven't seen them in 5 years. They spent the last 3 years playing in the league below us in League One and then rejoined the championship for this season. So they've got a blend of veterans from around the league, but guys that have kind of made the jump up, and they've struggled a bit with one loss and three draws so far in seven total matches. So you would hope or think it's a favorable matchup for this team, and you just kind of get the feeling that there's kind of waiting for a spark, because, again, there's some really good talent there. It's just a matter of it gelling together, and hopefully that process starts tomorrow night.
He's Greg Rigstraw, the best at what he does. He'll be with us tomorrow night talking about the Indy 11 and talking more about the Colts in the NFL draft. Thanks for your time, as always, Greg. Thank you so much. Have fun tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Thanks, buddy.
Coming up, the fun continues. It's busy. It's a busy weekend. Great time of year, quite frankly. I've got time to talk a little racing, and we're going to talk some minor league baseball coming up in these next few minutes. Speaking of in the Indy 11, we'll talk with Sean McCauley, their coach, coming up in the next half hour. A reminder, you want to join us tomorrow night, make sure you join us. We've got a lot going on tomorrow. I'm going to talk IndyCar, NASCAR, talk more about the Colts, have some fun. And we're heading into that time. We got five more weeks until I take a summer hiatus. So join us. Don't forget to join us. And as always, this time of year, you know, your local high school kids out running track, playing tennis, baseball, all those things going on. Get out and support them. The weather's perfect. Have fun. Do it the right way and have a little bit of fun and encourage those young people in their spring athletic exploits. Scoreboard update coming up again with Brad Huber. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Let's revisit our two top stories of the evening. Game 3 of the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. The Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pacers led by as much as 19 points. And it came tight down the stretch. The Pacers in overtime after a Tyrese Haliburton three-point play. Get the win, 121-118. Haliburton, a triple-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists. Chris Middleton for the Bucks have 42 points, including a big shot to force overtime and a shot to extend, really, in overtime down the stretch. The Pacers and the Bucks game 4 at Gainbridge Fieldhouse coming up on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Game 5 on Tuesday in Milwaukee. If necessary, game 6 back in Indianapolis on Thursday next week. The other top story, the NFL draft, of course, last night. Latu, the defensive end out of UCLA, went to the Colts. Today, they traded back from 46 to 52 to get Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, and then traded up from 82 to 79 to get Matt Goncalves, the offensive tackle out of Pitt. Tomorrow, the Colts will have 5 picks in the 4th round at 117, the 5th round at 142, 151, and 155, and the 7th round at 234. IndyCar practice today. Joseph Newgarden, the quickest at Barber Motorsports Park. Pato Award was 2nd. Will Power was 3rd. Colton Herta. Christian Lundgaard, the top 5. They will practice again at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon and qualify at 3:30 before the race on Sunday at 1:30. From Barber Motorsports Park, the final race before the month of May at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Brad Huber, let's talk a little racing. You're all fired up. Barber Motorsports for IndyCar. Dover, the Miracle Mile Dover for NASCAR. Pretty fun weekend for race fans like you.
It is a fun weekend, yeah, for IndyCar, the final race before the attention turns to Indianapolis for the month of May with the IndyCar Grand Prix on the road course, and then, of course, the Indianapolis 500.
So what are we doing?
Well, we had practice today. Joseph Newgarden was the fastest after the contentious week they had. And, you know, I kind of try to go back and describe what happened this week in terms of that IndyCar found a software in the Team Penske cars that allowed them to hit the push to pass on the restart. Now the driver still needs to hit the button, which is a big no-no. Right. And so I think what happened was, and Team Penske said it was an accident. Other teams are not so sure about that.
I take them at their word. Come on.
But they were testing hybrid setups to try to test a different with hybrid instead of just purely ethanol. So, you know, they're doing some different things, and that software was left in there. And Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin both hit that push to pass at St. Pete. And so they were both disqualified. Pato O'Ward was given the win at St. Pete. This is not last week at Long Beach, but St. Pete back in March. And so Pato O'Ward was awarded the win. But now they tried to regroup, refocus, and so far so good for defending Indy 500 champion Joseph Newgarden, the fastest in practice today. Pato O'Ward and Will Power, Colton Herta, and Christian Lundgaard. Of course, they'll practice again tomorrow at 12:30 and then qualify tomorrow afternoon before their race on Sunday. So a lot of IndyCar news this week because of what happened at St. Pete. It's been quite interesting, to say the least.
You know, I used to drive a I have a Saab. I'm a Saab guy. I've been a Saab guy for a long time. So I used to, I drive a 9.3 convertible right now. We used to have another 9.3. And it had, literally, it had a pass-to-push button, or push-to-pass button. I mean, it literally had a turbo button. You hit the turbo button, and your car's like a rocket. it could get expensive in terms of violating certain posted speed limits and things like that. That notwithstanding, I understand. But I don't understand the mechanism of how you do this and how it ends up being illegal. I'm foggy on how this actually works.
Yeah, so I believe the rule is you're not allowed to use it on a restart or the start of the race. So I think from the time you hit the alternate start finish line until the first time you come by it under green, you're not allowed to use it on a first lap after the restart, was my understanding. And so Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin both used it there, and that was where they were deemed to have broken the rules. But Joseph Newgarden said today in a press conference he thought, because I guess the rules were different and that they were able to at the thermal all-star race, that it was just a new rule they were implementing. So he didn't think that they broke a rule. Obviously very, very sorry, and apologized to his team and everybody else that he did do that. But very confusing and very interesting situation for sure this week that takes a lot of technical understanding to really realize how all of that worked and why the penalty was incurred.
All right, that makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. I guess the great thing about having you explain all this to me. Colts in the draft again tomorrow, right? And then we have Pacers on Sunday. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. The Colts will have 5 picks tomorrow, 1 in the 4th round, 3 in the 5th round, and 1 in the 7th round. They traded their 6th-round pick to Arizona to trade up to get Matt Goncalves, the tackle out of Pittsburgh, so no 6th-round pick. But they did get 2 5th-rounders from a trade down with Carolina, and they were still able to get their guy, Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. So good move there by Chris Ballard. And then, yes, the Pacers on Sunday looking to try to take a 3-1 lead at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I will be there, looking forward very much to that Sunday night against Milwaukee. Obviously, you talked to JJ. We don't know about Giannis. Right. From what I've seen online, I'd be kind of surprised if he played the series, but obviously we'll see. But another big game. They could get the win on Sunday. They'll be sitting very, very pretty going to Milwaukee on Tuesday and being in a position where they would only need to win 1 out of 3 games to advance on to the conference semifinals.
It was a fun game to watch. I mean, it was a fun game to watch. And they just, they found themselves, having coached as long as they did, basketball is a relatively simple game. And I say this, and I don't mean to make light of how difficult it is, but it's a make or miss game. That's what it literally boils down to. You make shots, you get a chance to win. And if you can prevent your opponents from making shots, similarly, you have a chance to win. And the Pacers, I was a little skeptical there, you know, toward the end when they had some open shots. Wide open shots by the right people that wouldn't go. And I thought, they're going to let this opportunity slip away from them. But then it boils down to Halliburton making a shot when he needed to. And that's what they have to continue to do. And I mentioned it earlier in the show. I say it again. I was glad that he was in a situation where he had to make a move to the rim. You know, for all of the great things that Tyrese Halliburton does, I thought tonight he deferred to his teammates too much. I'd like to see him be a little more assertive and more aggressive and take the thing to the rim than he did. But you can't fault the guy for having a triple-double and making the game winner. But, you know, just making those kind of observations. And, yeah, first time they've won a playoff game in years. It's a great atmosphere. The atmosphere is fantastic. It'll be that way again on Sunday. And let's hope that they're able to take another step toward winning this particular series. It would be fantastic for everybody.
Oh, it'd be huge for the city. The Pacers had lost 10 straight playoff games until they got the win in Milwaukee back on Tuesday, being swept by Miami in the Walt Disney World bubble back in 2020 and then losing in 2019. So it had to go back to 2018 from the last time the Pacers got a playoff win, losing in seven games to the Cleveland Cavaliers when they had LeBron James on that team. But yeah, so it's great. You know, this team, I still think a year or two away from really making a run towards, hopefully, their second appearance in the NBA Finals. We'll see. This is still a very, very young team that's really playing ahead of the curve, so to speak. And anything we get this year is certainly a bonus. I think the expectation this year was to make the play-in tournament. Boy, have they surpassed that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those who don't realize, Brad is the track announcer at the Paragon Speedway in Paragon, Indiana. When are you there? When's the track open up?
We'll be back there again tomorrow night. We have the Midwest Thunder 410s. Their second race of the season. C.J. Lurie won their first race at Brownstown. We have the Midwest Mini Sprint Association Series as well there tomorrow at Paragon Speedway, Superstocks, and the Hornets as well. So another busy night. We actually got out before midnight last week, so that was spectacular. Hopefully we'll do that again. Hopefully the weather will be okay tomorrow. And if you're listening, come on out. We got a lot of great racing down at Paragon Speedway, just down 67 south of Martinsville. So looking forward to being back there again tomorrow, and then we'll be there next Saturday as well.
All right, if you get out before midnight, you got to call the show. Seriously.
I'll do my best. I think I signed off that I guess it was 10 after 11 last week, so I'll do my best if we finish to call you.
See, we all forget that we have a lot of these kinds of tracks all over the state. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. Think of the number of venues we have for racing. Racing's big in our state, so call us. All right, Brad Huber. Great job. Scoreboard update with Brad coming up soon. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
In our final update tonight, let's look ahead to Saturday. The Colts will have five picks in the NFL draft, 117 in the fourth round, 142, 151, and 155 in the fifth round, and 234 in the seventh round. Of course, that is barring any trades. Let's take a look. The IndyCar Series will practice at 12:30 tomorrow, qualify at 3:30 at Barber Motorsports Park. The NASCAR Xfinity Series will race tomorrow at 1:30. The Cup Series will practice at 10:30 and qualify as well. ECHL Hockey, the Indy Field, will play the Wheeling Nailers. Game 5 of the ECHL Playoffs, Round 1. Wheeling leads the series 3-1. Indy 11 will host North Carolina FC. That will be a 7 o'clock kickoff here on the IUPUI campus. Minor League Baseball, the Indianapolis Indians will be at the Omaha Storm Chasers for a 7:05 first pitch. The South Bend Cubs will host the Quad City River Bandits at 4:05 tomorrow. And the Fort Wayne Tin Caps will host the Great Lakes Loons at 1:05 tomorrow in minor league baseball. A lot of baseball. Every team in the state in action tomorrow at all levels of college baseball. So feel free to check out your favorite college team. And then Major League Baseball coming up tomorrow beginning at 4 o'clock. The St. Louis Cardinals are the New York Mets. The Cincinnati Reds are the Texas Rangers. The Cubs with a win tonight, they go to the Boston Red Sox. And the Tampa Bay Rays will be at the Chicago White Sox at 7:10 tomorrow night. And then, of course, on Sunday, the Indiana Pacers, game 4 of the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs against Milwaukee Bucks, 7 o'clock, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, or on TNT, looking to take a 3-1 lead. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talks, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Minor League Baseball tonight. The South Bend Cubs beat the Quad Cities Ball Club 7-4, the final. The voice of the South Bend Cubs, Brendan King, joins me. Good night at the ballpark tonight, Brendan King.
Always a good night at the yard, Coach. Always better if you can pull off a win. That's what you get tonight, as you said, 7-4. Started a little bit rainy, though. Had a 46-minute delay, which can always put a damper on things. But tell you what, we saw a good ball game. Really solid pitching matchup, Coach. Frank Mazzucato got the start for Quad Cities. He's a first-round pick of the Royals and looked very much like it. 5 shutout innings for him. Drew Gray got the start for South Bend. He's a third-round pick of the Cubs, top 30 prospect. Paul Lefty out of Florida. He also looked sharp, went a career high on innings, gave up 1 unearned run, and struck out 6. So the pitching matchup really sold for itself, Coach. But once you get to the bullpen, South Bend able to capitalize. You know, when you have a pitching duel among starters, it's kind of, okay, well, who's going to be able to touch the bullpen first? And tonight it was the Cubs. 6 big runs in the 6th inning, Coach. That was enough to win the game. Of course, 7-4 is the final. But, yeah, a 6-run 6th, that certainly got the job done.
You know, and it's – listen, we have to always couch these things in terms everyone understands. Minor league baseball is to develop talent for the big club. And so that's what you do. And, yeah, you want to win games along the way. That's a huge goal, but it's kind of fun to see these two young guys going at each other and knowing full well that at some point they'll clearly be in the bigs.
Oh, that's the name of the game for sure. I mean, you know, over the years I've gotten to call a lot of talent, and I'm thankful that, you know, of the Chicago Cubs right now, Coach, I probably know personally and have worked with about half of the roster. So that's what you sign up for more than anything. I mean, you know, the 2 championships in 4 years, that's the added bonus. I mean, right? I mean, you said, you're not in minor league baseball to win games or win titles. That's the cherry on top. You're in minor league baseball to develop relationships, in my case, and you're in minor league baseball as a player, as you said, to develop talent. And I'm very thankful that I've gotten close with a lot of guys that are in the big leagues now, and it'll be no different. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking wins and losses, Coach, this is a massive win, and the reason, because South Bend lost the first 2 games of this series on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then with a shutout 6-0 win last night, 7-4 today, brand-new series. As you know, series are now 6 games in minor league ball, so that now gives us an opportunity to go out tomorrow, grab a series lead, and potentially win a series on Sunday. So it has really flipped the script. Some really good ball over the last couple of days. And tell you what, Coach, again, it comes with getting out. And that's exactly what South Bend has done the last 2 days and winning back-to-back games.
You make it so simple. Get people out. We got a chance. Don't walk somebody. We got a chance. Those kinds of things.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, especially in minor league ball. I mean, Coach if you're walking too many guys, not only are you going to have to burn through pitchers, because in minor league ball, there's pitch counts and, you know, guys are on a schedule. They can't go past a certain amount of pitches. So if guys are burning bullets, walking guys, they're not going to be in there long. You're only going to throw an inning or maybe even less than an inning if you're not throwing strikes. So that's what's gone well the last couple days. Big home run tonight from Parker Chavers. He had a 4 RBI game last week in Beloit. But, you know, you got to credit the bullpen. Joe Nahas knocked down the save. Yesterday, for example, we saw Sam Armstrong out of the bullpen, Coach. He threw 4 2/3 innings scoreless on the season out of the pen. He's gone 14 shutout innings, which that is a rarity. A guy going 14 straight innings without giving a run. But the South Bend bullpen, it has looked really sharp over the last few days.
Brendan King, voice of the South Bend Cubs. Cubs beat Quad City 7-4 tonight. Brendan, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Coach.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. We've got a lot of basketball, a lot of racing. We got soccer to talk about. Indy 11 at the Michael A. Carroll Stadium tomorrow night, taking on Carolina. With me, the 11's head coach, Sean McCauley. And Coach, it's been a while since you and I talked. Catch me up. How do you feel about your squad right now, where they are?
The squad is doing okay, you know, Bob. We've not got the points that we think we should have got, you know, and our performances have been somewhat not questionable, but when we've played well, we've played really well, and when we've played poor, we've really let ourselves down. And the unfortunate thing, that's happened within a game. It's not as if we've had one bad game and one really good game. It's sort of moments in the game that we're not putting that consistency together. But regarding the squad and the team, you know, I'm happy with what we're doing. We just need to put a complete performance in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as an outsider looking in, you see a little bit of inconsistency. And I know you and I talked earlier in the year that your strength, one of your biggest strengths, may be the depth that you have. And it's still a long season. How has that depth been playing out right now?
Well, we've needed to use it, to be fair, because, you know, we've never been able to field the same team, really, because of injuries. So, you know, we've had to use the depth. You know, it's not really been a coach's decision to change something personnel-wise or tactical-wise. It's been more of we've had players that have gone down injured. Some people have been ill. You know, we had Dougie Martinez earlier on in the year scored a goal for us to get the winner and then flew off and played for his country. So we've never really been able to put a consistent lineup together. But I'm hoping, you know, once we settle down, get through the summer months, you know, that'll start showing consistency.
We're talking with Sean McCauley, the head coach of the Indy 11 at Michael A. Carroll Stadium tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, taking on North Carolina. Coach, you talked about the schedule, and you know, you do have a lot of games left. And you mentioned you get through the summer schedule, but this thing becomes a grind. I mean, you're into the meat of it right now, and as we've talked about earlier, this is where the depth has to really pay off for you.
Yeah, you know, and we've also done really well. You know, we got through the round of the Open Cup, so we're through to that. So in 10 days time, we'll be playing again.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, thank you, Coach. Coach Sean McCauley, the head coach of the Indy 11. Good luck tomorrow night against North Carolina. My thanks to Jace Hodge, Brad Huber, Elijah Robertson. Great job as always. Thanks to our great stations around the state that bring you the show every Friday and Saturday night. Thanks to all of you for making us the most listened to sports talk show in our state's history. It is the history-making legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.